Like I said, I've known Adam for probably 3, 4, 5 years. That's, yeah, between 3 and 5 years. Met him in rooms just like this, like I said, met him overseas. Adam actually spoke at a Breakthrough for Business event 2 years ago. It was one of the best presentations that we had. And it was all about, once again, sales and how to structure your sales. It's going to be a little bit different today. This one's going to be on your offer and what it is that you can offer to your clients to get them to come in your door. I think the landscape of business is changing a little bit at the moment. There's a thing called cost of acquisition. So before, you used to be able to do SEO and things like that on your websites. Now it's almost like you have to allocate a certain amount of money to acquire a customer. So I'm pretty sure the way that Adam's going to structure his presentation, you're really going to enjoy it. So please, if I can ask you to stand up and give Adam a big round of applause, that'd be muchly appreciated.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, mate. Thank you. Some of you, I work in a digital agency. We help people make sales and grow their lists and etc. Interestingly, I'm really shit with technology. So being in a digital agency, when you're bad at technology, you've got to get good at something else. So I've learned how to sell, and I'm going to be helping you guys for the next 150 minutes on how to build some marketing into your business. Firstly, I just want to say thanks to Steve. Can you turn me down a touch? Thanks, mate. I've got a funeral tomorrow. A good friend of mine passed away, and if it wasn't Steve's business, if this wasn't a gig for him, I wouldn't be here. So I got a lot of respect for Steve. He's a very humble guy, and he's a gentleman. And in this industry, to work with someone like Steve, he's obviously intelligent, but he does what's called preeminence. Now, does anyone know what preeminence is? You do? Does anyone know what preeminence is? Preeminence is a position. It's where you take care of your customer. And you ladies over here, I'm going to talk to you about the situation you're in at the moment, but preeminence basically says, I'm not going to treat you like a customer, I'm going to treat you like someone I'm responsible for. And this is something that Steve does, this is something that we try and do with our clients in our business. And to have someone, when you treat people with preeminence, when you don't treat them like a customer, you treat them like a member of your family and you take responsibility for them, that's one of the most valuable assets you can have in your business, and Steve's an example of that. And that's why I'm here, because it would have been easy not to be here. So I'm going to teach you a few things that I know. Hopefully you'll get value out of that. I like the strategies I'm going to teach you. So where do we start? I've got a weird superpower. And my superpower is that I'm excellent at failing. Every single day I'm making mistakes. I fail with my kids, I fail with my business, I fail with my relationship. But when in business, I fail at school, I fail in study. But in business, if you're not failing, you're not innovating. If you're not failing, you're not growing. If you're not failing, you're stuck in a position of non-growth and non-development. So the one thing I want you to get initially in business, and it's like when you run a digital agency, the whole process is about failing until you get something to work. Your whole thing will fail until it works. And there's two options in business. You either fail your way to success or you quit. And that's the entrepreneurial reality. You'll either fail and finally get there, or you'll quit. Does that make sense? Okay. So, seems a little bit solemn, but actually, when you can look at failure, when you can look at mistakes, and embrace them, what's there to worry about? When you have this attitude of failing is a good thing, failure is a learning opportunity. In fact, wisdom comes from experience. It usually happens after failure. Most people will fail and then blame, And when you get over that blaming situation or lack of responsibility, you can take a look back and say, what can I do differently? And that's, you know, if you get nothing else out of today, if you get nothing else out of understanding sales, it's failure's good, but learn from it. Every day, if you make mistakes, look at your mistakes and see what you can learn from them. So that's one thing. If you just take that out of today, then I can finish my talk and we can go our separate ways and you'll still develop your business. So I'm just going to shoot around the room because I'd love to know a few industries we've got. Because so I can kind of tailor some examples, etc., and illustrations for your businesses. So what was your name? Francine, and you're a digital agency. Okay, do you have a particular type of client that you work with?
SMEs, bricks and mortar mostly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you like working with? Is there anyone that you go, yep, I love action takers? So it's a type of person. God bless them. What industry are you in? Thanks, Francine. What's your name, sorry?
Claire,
yep. Fantastic. Okay. You like getting married? Great. What's your name, sorry, mate? We'll just race through. I'd just love to know your name and industry.
Yeah. Craig from NowChem, chemical manufacturer.
So what do you produce?
We produce a range of different things, mostly cleaning products.
Cleaning products. Fantastic. I remember you, Johnny, you're the wakeboarder?
Yeah.
Yeah? What's your business?
Well, I do like wakeboard coaching, wakeboard school, and we're just dressed up a new one, which I'm kind of more intent on today, is a retail garden centre and landscape yard.
Okay, fantastic, yeah.
HR.
Okay, fantastic. And how do you do that? Do you help them with structure, or you manage it for them?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, so whatever they need, you know, it could be just structure.
Yep. And who's an ideal client? People with staff, obviously, but we're in,
probably 15
employees. Okay,
fantastic.
Okay. Cool. All right, Luke.
Luke, I'm a carpenter builder.
Yep.
Yeah. Just work locally.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
residential.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
okay. Cool. Up the back there. I got the paintball. What's your name again?
Pete.
And you've got a paintball place?
Yeah.
Sydney. In Sydney. Fantastic. And what was your name, sir?
Murray.
Yeah.
And we have a publish magazines about transport.
About transport?
Transport industry, trucks and cars and units and
cool. Is it like wheels magazines or something a little bit more logistical?
One's about heavy vehicles, one's trucks and engines, all that, and the other one's like commercial vehicles, so it's huge and
me. Okay. Fantastic. What's your name, sir?
Glenn Mudge. I'm a builder. Specialise in renovations and extensions.
You were here last time, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a regular.
You're a regular. Yeah. You're not a blowing like me. Mate, up there.
I'm Graham. Yeah. I'm from Creative Visions Print and Design. So we're printers.
Printers. Fantastic. Just around here?
Georgia.
For who?
For the Black Design.
Okay. Fantastic. What was your name?
Hi, I'm Lisa Marie.
Cool. Nice.
Okay.
Will?
Yeah.
Reinsurance.
Insurance for Australian
insurance companies. Oh, great.
Yeah,
cool. That's an interesting niche, yeah. And you guys are travel agents, are you?
Yeah.
What was your names?
I'm Leonie. Yeah. And I'm Julie.
And Julie, yeah.
From My Travel Expert in
Nara. Okay, cool. So thanks, guys. Look, does anyone know what industry you're really in? We're all marketers. Whether you like it or not, you're a marketer. If you have a business, you're in sales and marketing. Now, I always ask this question, and it's like, I probably should have said, do you know what business you're really in? I wasn't trying to trick you or anything, but everyone's in sales and marketing. When you understand that, your business can start to change. You have a product or a service, but really you're in sales and marketing. Your business is to grow, sell and market your product or service. That's what we're really into here. And we're going to be talking about this later, but one of the biggest constraints or things stopping you growing your business is your product or service. There is that, yep. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, look, there's three parts to a business. There's the attraction, the marketing, in other words, the conversion. Can I just move this down? There's the attraction, which is the marketing, the conversion, which is your sales, and your delivery, which is your... So you've got three main things, and obviously admin, which I put into delivery. Obviously, I don't really care too much about admin, but you're into attraction, conversion, and delivery. And part of the one of the big things that causes a lot of businesses problems is they get good at marketing, and then they have to go and deliver all this stuff. Anyone ever have that? You get a whole bunch of clients, you focus on marketing, it starts to grow, and then you go, oh shit, I've got to do a whole bunch of work now, and you stop marketing. The work dries up, and then you go, bugger, I've got to go and market again. Yeah, it's a little bit of a pendulum. So this is something, you know, I learned from a guy, a good mate of mine, Taki Moore. But you've got attract, convert, and you've got deliver. What I see in my business in consulting is most people have either the wrong system or the wrong system. In other words, they've got something that's too complex or not complex enough for their situation, or they're just shit at it. And I'll be honest, like, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Like, the marketing is just no good. And it's not, look, you're good at carpentry, you're good at life coaching, you're good at interior design, you're good at insurers, but most people aren't great at marketing because they're good at their business and they don't realise what business they're in. So that's what I'm going to be helping you with today, is creating an irresistible offer. We're going to be working on your offer. Now, there's... okay, so... Does anyone know this logo? Yep. Okay, this is Dun & Bradstreet. Now, these are a bunch of very smart guys, apparently. But they did a huge study. They spent millions of dollars on this. And over 12 months, huge resources put into trying to understand one thing, and that is what makes businesses fail. So they've studied market trends, they've studied industries, they've studied international situations, conflict, and you know, all this kind of nonsense. They studied everything, millions and millions of dollars, to come up with what is the one reason why businesses fail. And what do you think it is? Could be. Anyone else? Bad management. Follow through? No? You on the right track? Well, no, not really. But what's it? Stop growing? That's part, you're getting closer. Very close. What causes lack of money coming in? Not enough sales. Millions of dollars, over 12 months, huge resources put into why do businesses fail? Not enough sales. The number one reason businesses fail, not enough sales. There's other reasons, lack of commitment, all those things are not wrong. But the main thing, the number one reason, is lack of sales. Now, when you look at sales, and we're going to be talking about constraints in a moment, but when you look at sales, sales and marketing, 90% of marketing and sales fails on one thing, and that is the offer. Now, in my experience, there's only two types of offer. What would you say they are? A resistible and an irresistible offer. That's it. My offer is either resistible or irresistible. And you know, if in digital marketing, you would see this. But I'm a sales nerd. I was just talking to Tanya, who's speaking this afternoon, about this before. We're talking about sales and marketing, and Tanya said, "Oh, it might not be the most interesting topic, but for me, it gets my little propeller spinning. I love sales and marketing. I love looking at marketing and." I probably get upset when I see bad marketing a little bit too much. But there's and I see good marketing, I'm totally turned on, it's fantastic. But it's not because of weirdness, but I understand that is the key. If your offer is good, your marketing will work. And that's what we're going to be working on today up until lunchtime. So, when we look at marketing, as I just said, the key, the 90% of success comes down to your offer. Now, what do I mean by offer? What is an offer?
Could be, yeah.
Yep. Value?
Yep. It's simply what you...
It's a potential solution to the client's problem.
That's great, yep. It's very close. That's what makes a good offer. Yeah. Look, an offer is just, it's really not that complicated. It's just what I'm offering you. You know, I'm going to offer you to buy some chemicals. I'm going to offer you a new house. I'm going to offer a new design, a new house renovation, a deck out the back to get shot in the head with a paintball. Like, I'm going to offer you all these particular things. Like, the offer is the way in which you articulate what you're going to be giving them. Now, there's a bunch of different ways. We'll be going into offer in a moment. But has anyone heard of the theory of constraints? Yeah? So what's theory of constraints? You've heard of it. Great. I don't know what it is, but I've heard of it. Theory of constraints is really simple. If you've got, like, just say, you know, I'm here and this is my business and I'm not happy with it. And my goal is, you know, to add, let's just say, 100 people into my business. Then you would think if there was no constraints, you would just simply go straight for your goal. Theory of constraints basically means between you and your goal, there are a bunch of obstacles that you need to deal with. Like, life coaches talk about it all the time. Like, they go, I'm going to find your blocks and remove them. In other words, we identify constraints and get rid of them so you can have what you want, essentially. But really, it's not a smooth path, is it? Constraints is, there's a block here, so we need to... It's not a great drawing here, but you can understand it can, like, you have a constraint. It blocks the flow of you between you getting what you want and where you are. Does that make sense? Yeah? Like, it's what makes the game interesting. Like, in paintball, one of the constraints you've got is there's another bloke shooting you. If he wasn't there, it wouldn't be as much fun, would it? The way I see it is the bigger the constraint, the bigger the reward generally. If you've got a big constraint, or if there are constraints that a lot of people are having, and you can solve that, then you can generally get paid very well for it. That's why I do sales, because sales is a huge constraint in business. Now, in sales process, what would you say is the biggest constraint? What is the biggest thing stopping you getting what you want? If you're the person selling it. That's right. Well, that's one thing. I'll let you know a little secret. People want to buy your stuff. They want to buy your stuff. You've got a resistible offer. Man, you're an overachiever. Now, seriously, that's the number one reason. A lot of people are going, oh, maybe I'm not selling the right thing. Maybe I'm not... I should do Facebook marketing instead of, you know, Google AdWords. Or maybe I'm doing the wrong... You know, maybe I need a new brand. Maybe I need to rename the business. Maybe I need to do this. Before we look at anything, let's look at the offer. That's the original constraint. I'll articulate this in another way. Just, you probably get it, but I'll say it another way. If your marketing and sales isn't working, if your marketing doesn't work, if you are not making sales, if people aren't clicking on your ad, or if people aren't opting in, it is because your offer sucks. Or you didn't articulate it in the way your target market responds to. So we're talking about that, creating a good offer and articulation today. But your offer is the single first constraint that I see, the single thing stopping most people get a successful sales and marketing process in place. Does that make sense? Okay. So when you're marketing, any questions on this before we go on? I'm a bit like Tinkerbell. If the more you respond to me, the more fairy dust they'll give you. So any questions on this before I go on?
I guess we see like a few people coming in over the years. But to me, I mean, what we've learned throughout the groups, what's your definition of marketing as opposed to advertising for like the rest of them? So what do you see as marketing in your kind of perspective?
Well, that's a great question. So there's a couple of types of marketing, but by my definition, marketing is a process that gets rid of a sales conversation. So marketing is the process that of relationship building with a customer or an audience, and I'll be talking about that a little bit later, like how I define it. But it's a process of nurturing a relationship that takes a lot of the heavy lifting out of the end sale. So marketing is growing a group of people, connecting with a target audience, offering them something. That's the process that replaces you. That's what I believe marketing is. So it's how you harvest customers, for lack of another word, or clients, for lack of another word, without actually doing it personally. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. It's just more, I guess, a personal perspective.
The easiest way for me, I suppose, to explain it is to say what marketing isn't. Like, your advertising is kind of marketing, but the bottom line of marketing is people buy from brands they want to be associated with.
Is referral work marketing?
Yeah. And I'll be giving you a strategy today about that as well. But people buy from brands they want to be associated with. Even like Apple, it's a computer. It generally does the same thing. I mean, I've got an Apple, and everything I own is Apple, because I want to be cool like Apple. But it's an association. I want, like, part of my reason for buying Apple is not logical. It's irrational. It's emotional. I want to be associated with that. Does that make sense? That's branding. Whereas marketing is taking that goodwill and bringing it into a customer or a client. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's the difference between advertising and, in my mind, and marketing. I'm into direct marketing, which is they don't know me, and as quickly as I possibly can, they become a client. So it's a different strategy.
I guess the reason I questioned what your perception of it is, like a couple of others we've talked to, and what I see it as, even though we, you know, we pay for advertising and marketing, whatever avenues we get.
Yep.
Just because we pay for it doesn't mean that we own what we pay for. And the example I use is the Bunnings. Now they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on marketing every year.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll hear it just on the weekend, they say, you know, go and do that, go and do that, go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's inspired by home reno shows and all that kind of stuff. And that inspires people to obviously go and do home renos.
Yep.
But if you're on the receiving end of that kind of marketing pool where people know, like, and trust your brand, even though they're inspired by Bunnings to go do their deck, they might go and shop at your store. But they're inspired by something else with the notion of doing.
Yeah.
But because they know, like, and trust your brand, like Apple,
they
go and shop at Apple.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys are paid for the marketing and such.
So you're saying Bunnings, their marketing is helpful to other hardware stores even?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, Bunnings is one of the best marketing advertising you'll see. It's and because their offer is really clear. What are they offering you?
Lowest prices.
I watched an ad when I was watching the footy last week, and there was this guy and he's totally excited. Like they use their employees, and this is humility. Like they're a huge corporation, and they're using employees to tell you to come in, and the employees are going, oh, we buy our stuff in bulk. And, you know, we can buy it cheaper and then you can get a lower price. And he said that four times in the ad. I'm like, what are they trying to say here? Oh, they buy it cheaper, so I get it cheaper. Lowest prices guaranteed. Yeah, we got the lowest prices. So you can buy more stuff and get more renos done on your house. They say the same thing. They've got an offer. Their offer is lowest prices guaranteed. You know, McDonald's, what's their offer? What's McDonald's offering you? Shit food. Interestingly, they're not. They're happy to say it's shit food. They're offering you to feed your family for under $20. Quick. everyone. And now you look at their most recent ads, they've got a dad's burger now. So everyone's happy. But guess what? They did their new health menu. They said, come here and we'll give you salads and stuff. Well, how un-McDonald's, but they did a salad menu, and they had a huge spike in people coming in because they had a salad menu. But guess what? They were buying bloody burgers. They weren't buying salads. But people went, oh, cool, I can go to McDonald's and have a salad. But then I get there and, oh, geez, that quarter pounder looks good. I'll have chips with that. So it's all in the offer. Do you understand? There's all this stuff going on, but there's an offer. And you'll see it in their pictures. I'm getting off track here, but I'm trying to hammer home the point. It's all in the offer. You might not like Bunnings, you might not like McDonald's, you might love them. But if you go to Bunnings on a Sunday, that's like parents on crack. Like, seriously, if you're a homeowner, I need that. Like, I go there with my wife, and I'm like, Claire, you got a list of stuff there. And I've got the card. Give me your card. Like, it's ridiculous. I'll go down there for, oh, I've got to get a new plant. Like, I want some seeds for the veggie patch. And I'm like, cool, one thing. $350 later. And we got bloody pots and, you know, like, it's lowest prices. So it means we can buy more. We're saving money. It's like, not really. That's not how it works. But they've got a great offer. They know who their target market is, and they know what they want. It's a huge warehouse full of crack for parents. Okay. Just turn to your neighbour and just go, what are you understanding about offers so far? Because this is the main thing. We're going to get into technicalities in a moment. But just, what are you understanding about what I'm saying now? Just with your neighbours, please. We good? Just throw it back at me. What are you learning so far? What are you understanding?
Yep. I think, from my perspective and from most advertisers, the offer is only part of the product, it's not the end product.
Exactly. In fact, it has very little to do with the product. Bunnings aren't saying, come in and get a... Their old ads used to be a drawing, a sketch, $39 for a chair. Now, do you remember those old ads? Like the shitty picture, $39, $50. That was their old ad. Now it's just one of their staff going, yeah, lowest prices, it's great. I love working here. So it's got nothing to do with the product. So great, great distinction. Ooh, sorry, did I cut you off? Was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think like what you're saying about McDonald's, you know, exactly right, I'm guilty of that. But also I think Harvey Norman does it well as well in regards to they have an offer, but they don't tell you the complete picture. It's just an intro. It's not the complete product. Sometimes it's not the product.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, great distinction. And this is one of the things that stuffs up most offers is they try and tell you everything about it. It's just like, and we'll talk about this at the end of my presentation. Like one of the steps of marketing is just to get your audience to put your hand up. It is. It's just what do they need to know to get interested? It's lowest prices, guaranteed. In some cases, it's not, but that's what they say. Does that make sense? What else we learned?
The difference between presenting the offer and managing your brand? Or is it the same thing?
No, they're tied up in the same thing. They're kind of like conjoined twins. So branding is how you're perceived, and an offer is what's in it for them. Does that make sense? Branding is more about you and your image. And it's very important, especially as you grow. But an offer is about, well, this is what's in it for you. Is that, yeah? So the two sides of the same coin. Yeah. Any other questions? What else are you learning? Shall we keep going? Cool. All right. So I'm going to give you. I'll just go through this real quick. This is what's called a Y stack. I'm explaining to you why marketing is important. If your marketing sucks, no one responds. Who's put a marketing piece out and heard crickets? Yeah. I told you before, you know, I've got a gift of failure. You know, most of my marketing efforts, 80% of my marketing fails, but when it's designed to do that, because as soon as it works, It's just a tweaking process. 80% of the process will fail, and I'm totally happy with that because that's the reality. And I'm happy with that because why do you think I'm happy with 80% of marketing failing? It's feedback, yep. Well, it's more than 20%. So when you get it, it goes. Because the reason why I'm happy with 80% of my marketing failing is because in that 80% of time, everyone's marketing will fail. But most people will quit. Most people will quit. It's like going to the gym. How many times have you said, yeah, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to get in shape? You don't answer the question.
You look pretty fit.
Apparently 60% of gym membership are sleeping members.
60%.
60% of their clients, and 20 are active, and the other 20 are really casual.
Yeah.
Is that really right?
That's crazy.
Yeah. And that's a reality. You know, you join a gym. We're going to be talking about Men's Health magazine later. And Men's Health magazine, who do you think that's for? Do you think Men's Health is for healthy people? It's for the 60% of people who've got a gym membership and not going. Or you know, Women's Health or whatever it is. Men's Health is for, and we'll look at their headlines, but their offers are, their headline is, they've got this one headline that is constantly repeated. And it's all... There's abs, and there's also you look at that, like if you Google it when you get a chance, and I'll show you this later, but it's get back in shape. Every four issues, it's the same thing, get back in shape. Do you think, you know, who's ever said, oh, I've got to get back in shape? Who's ever said that? Never? Yeah, me either. So when your marketing sucks, you get no response. You get no sales, it costs you money. Who's ever wasted money on marketing? Yeah. Look, honestly, there is no wasted money in marketing because it's unless you stop. When you, like, if you look at marketing as I'm spending money, now I've got to make it, then that's what you want to do. You want to get a return on investment. But the real thing with marketing is the first money you spend is all about information gathering. So please write that down. Don't think of marketing as I'm spending money. It's about getting information. And what's the thing that you think you're getting information about? Is my offer right? That's the main thing I want to know. Have we got the right offer?
Isn't that always going to be a process that your first part of marketing, you will not get a response usually?
I had a mate a couple of weeks ago. He smashed it on his first advertising campaign, and I felt sorry for him. He hit a home run, and now that's what he thinks marketing is. So he doesn't understand. Look, failure is a necessary part of the creative process, the marketing process, the health process. Like when you exercise, there is failure involved. You've got to be able to do that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So. It is. It's a necessary part. So costing money is one thing, and you know, you can obviously go broke. But when we get it right, we get a big response. You can make lots of sales. Get a high return on your investment. And get rich, like Mr. T. Okay. So this woman here, this is Sally Arnold. Now you're going to get sick of me talking about Sally, because I've threaded her story throughout my entire presentation, but. She's a cool lady. She's a terrible marketer, but she's a lovely girl. And ladies, if you can listen in, because I'm gonna give you some specific advice for your situation. Sally came to me. It was a Wednesday, and she was freaking out. She said, "I can't pay my mortgage." And when a client comes to me freaking out, the first thing I do is book them in tomorrow. Not today, because they need to blow off a bit of steam and probably sleep or not sleep on it. But anyway, so I said, look, tomorrow I know what we're going to do. 11 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to talk, and I'm going to give you some strategies. So I spoke to her at 11, and we did a particular strategy. I'll show you how we do it a bit later. It's an intro strategy as opposed to a referral strategy. So she tried a bunch of marketing. She's tipped money down the toilet. And to be honest, she just didn't have her offer right. So we looked at her clients. Instead of marketing outside of to new people, we went, well, you know, tell me about the best results you've got for your client. So we looked at, and she's got some smashing results for clients. I said, pick five of your best clients. She's an executive coach, by the way, so she helps people with their careers and stuff like that. Anyway, she said, we picked five of her clients, and we specifically articulated the outcome that she got them, the result that she got them. So if she's got, and some of the results were she helped someone add $30,000 in, get a $30,000 better paying job. She helped people get to the C-suite. Does anyone know, you guys know what C-suite is? It's basically you're a CFO or a CEO or a CMO. Well, I don't really know what they all mean, but the C-suite is when you've got a C something O. So she helped, so we articulated those things, and then she contacted the people and asked them to introduce her to people who want that specific result. And I'll talk to you about the languaging a bit later, but it was a simple email. It was four lines, and I said to her, Sally, you have to do exactly what I say. No one's ever done exactly what I say with this. They're always trying to embellish it. Don't embellish it. Just say exactly this. It was such and such meet Sally. Sally's the person who helped me get to the C-suite. Sally's the person who helped me add $30,000. Sally's the person who helped me, blah, blah, blah. You guys should talk. So this was Thursday. By the following Tuesday, by the Saturday, I messaged her and I said, how are you going? She said, I made $24,000 in 2 days. And I rang her the next Tuesday and she'd made 74 grand in 6 days. So the following Tuesday, this is from email, but the offer was right. How many people, she just articulated the offer. Sally helped me do this. Sally helped me. It was a specific offer. Does that make sense? The offer was in the outcome. I know that might sound technical or it might be weird, but do you understand? Like, that's the offer. You guys should talk. Sally helped me do this. You should talk to her. 74 grand. I rang her the next Tuesday. Not even 2 weeks later, and I said, how are you going? And she said, oh, I'm so nervous. I've got so much to do and I'm leaving for Bali tomorrow. I'm like, you're an idiot. Like, 2 weeks ago, you're freaking out about your mortgage. You contact me about that. You don't invite me to Bali, you bloody... Yeah. So she hadn't had a holiday in 7 years. So, and so she's gone to Bali. That's 2 weeks. And that's what an offer can do. So she'd been struggling for 6 months to get... And she's just not made for marketing, to be honest. And that's why she asked me for help. But when she got the offer right, it went 74 grand in 6 days. So ladies, can I just give you a quick... you've got a massive opportunity. You said, you know, my client, you know, they're the... Like, that's... I've got to deal with my client. But you don't even need to deal with the client. You just need to let them know that you're there and say, whatever you need, let me know. We'll do whatever we can. They won't... I can't help you with the passport, but we're here. Just stay... If you send them messages and stay in touch with them, when they get back, you're creating an advocate. And when they get back, if you say, do you know any other people who are going on holidays? They can introduce you and say, is it Lorraine? Leonie and Julie, these are the travel agents who bailed us out when we were screwed in Europe. You guys should talk before you go on holidays. That's preeminence. Does that make sense? You've taken responsibility not just for the sale, but for the customer. Make sense? Yeah? And look, when you get that, you can roll that. You don't even need marketing. You could just intros. Sally's the person who helped us have the best family holiday of our life. Leonie and Julie are the people who helped us do this. Your results, there's gold in your results. Because you're good at what you do, you just, you know, but most people aren't good at marketing it. Okay, so, where are we up to? Just turn to your neighbour. What are we learning? We're going to give a little bit of an exercise in a moment. actually, yeah. Turn to your neighbour. What are we learning? What are you learning? Prize for the noisiest table. All right. Now, questions, comments, feedback. What are we learning? What do you want to know? Is there anything you want clarification on? It's okay that you suck? Look, you know, I suck at marketing, but I'm happy to be... No, that's not true. When I first started marketing, it was so bad. It was so bad. And it's only through, like I said, my superpower is failure. And I'm okay with that. And that's the best marketers are the ones that are okay, because most of it, like, it'll suck, and then it'll go bang, and then you'll crush it. So it's great to know that that's where you are, that's your constraint. So, great. Anyone else? Feedback? Questions?
Yeah. I think, just talking with Peter about, because I've done a quote for Peter and doing some work, quoting on some work at his place, and he's given me the feedback, that his wife has said that, you know, pretty much that she trusted what I was saying, and and that's sort of something that, from a marketing perspective, you know, how do I capitalize? Because that trust, being a builder, you're dealing with, you know, most of the time it's a fair sort of price sort of range that, you know, people are going to trust you to come in and do X, Y, Z to their home. And if that trust isn't there, then it doesn't matter what your price is, the trust, if there's no trust, there's no job. So
yeah, we're going to be talking about building credibility into your sales process in after morning tea. So hold that thought, just make a note of it, and if I haven't answered your question, let me know, because there's a whole module on exactly that, extracting trust building trust into your marketing process and your marketing strategy. So, like I said, Leonie, and Julie, that's a huge opportunity. When I see that, I go, "Oh my God, that's huge trust transference right there." And what this job here, like I said, people want to buy from you. It's just the sales process gets in the way of that.
Try to clarify, she was shocked by the price.
Was it good or bad?
Oh, the price.
Was it high or low?
High.
It was high. This is the thing. Price isn't the issue. It's, you know...
But she liked him.
She liked him.
Yeah.
People buy from brands they want to be associated with. People buy from brands they want to be associated with. You've just demonstrated one of the major premises of marketing. They want to buy from you, even if you charge more. That's what I say to my clients. I'm expensive. There's a reason why I'm expensive. I am expensive compared to other people. But if you want a return, pay me the money, or you can get some digital guy to do something who knows how to do the techie stuff, but they don't know how to market. I'm expensive. I'm happy to say that. Because people don't care about price necessarily. It's not the major thing. It's usually an objection. It's usually, oh, it's too expensive, is a way to get out of something. Okay, so there's six key principles to getting your offer right. So remember, the main thing, we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of stuff, but the main thing is we're going to be working on your offer. The first key principle is to know thy enemy. People want to buy from you. Who is your competition? That's the question I'd love to ask you. Who is your competition? The internet? Great answer. Yeah. Who is your competition? The rest of the market? DIY? Who is your competition? Be specific. Everyone. This is where I ask a question. You answer a question. It's kind of how that thing kind of goes. So, your other competitors? Yeah? That's what you'd think, hey? Who's your competition, ladies?
Our customers.
Great answer. What you're competing with is your customer's inactivity. You're not competing with the bloke down the street. You're not competing with other builders. You're not competing with other... they're involved, but the major thing you're competing with is your customer's inactivity. Especially with digital marketing. Like, we do a lot of Facebook marketing for our clients. And on Facebook, I'm not competing with other people advertising even the same product. I'm not competing with them. I'm competing with friggin' cat videos. I'm competing with some meme from Tony Robbins or some shit. Recipes. Is that what you're into? Yeah, well, that's what... I'm competing with you know, this stream of attention-grabbing crap. I'm competing with the inactivity. It's easier for my customer to do nothing. It's easier for my client to do nothing. That's what we're competing with. When you've got a good offer, you've either got a resistible or an irresistible offer. This is where irresistible offers come in. It's easier for them to do nothing unless you have an irresistible offer. It's the key to marketing in general, I think. So when people market, there's usually four things that they focus on. So when in their marketing, this is what I see. And three of them are the wrong thing. But when people are marketing, in other words, they're doing their, doing an ad, or they're doing whatever it is, some Facebook ad or a TV ad, what do you generally see them trying to tell you? They're trying to tell you that something's the best. They're trying to tell you that their business is the best. That's meant to be a business. Their business is the best. Their system is the best. In coaching, it's huge. They're trying to tell you that they're the best. I'm the best. I've got this qualification. I've done this. I've been coaching or consulting for 15 years, and when I first started, I got trained. I was the highest trained in a certain field in the Southern Hemisphere. Do you know how many times I got asked, "What are my qualifications?" Once, when I first started, and I was quite proud to say, I'm the highest trained in the Southern Hemisphere. Once. People don't give a shit about you in this process. They don't care. It's not important. What do they think? What do you think they care? It's not the business. Most people market business, system, or themselves. What do you think we need to focus on in our marketing? Perfect. I'm going to call it the prospect. We need to focus everything. This is what we were saying before. Your product or service is an obstacle. Is an obstacle in the way of what your client wants. So, if I said to you, Julian, Leanne, I'm determined to get it right. It's now OO and JJ. That's what I'm going to call you. Permission to get your names wrong, please. I know who you are. I'll just forget. So what are you guys selling? A product? Yeah. Holidays. Experiences. Memories. Yeah. You're selling to people who went on a holiday when they were a kid and they remember it. And now they want to take their kids on holidays. So you're creating memories. You're not selling holidays. It's just the vehicle. You're creating memories that last a lifetime. When you look back at your childhood, you think, I don't remember what happened when I was six, but I know that I went to the Gold Coast on a holiday and, these things happened. What are you selling?
Experience.
Experience?
Yeah.
What do you think the experience is?
We do have a sign that says you're paying for our pleasure.
Yeah.
It's an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
And the experience differs to the individual.
Do you know, did most people come into your business with, like in groups or by themselves?
In groups.
Yeah. So, a lot of the time, what happens after they've had the painful experience? What do you see them doing?
Oh, they're just sharing stories, loving each other.
I shot you in the head.
Yeah.
You got me in the back. That really hurt. You're actually selling experiences. I'm probably wrong here, but because I haven't had time to think about it, but you're selling bonding. So if I played rugby in high school, and my first lesson in grade 8 rugby was the people you play with, you'll be friends with for the rest of your life. Every other sport, you won't have that. Like soccer guys won't hang out with each other. The tennis people won't. All my mates now that I still hang out with from school, I played rugby with. So it's a bonding experience. Yeah. By shooting them in the head with a paintball. And it's so much fun to shoot your mate in the head with a paintball or wherever. So, I'm not saying that's it for you, but it's in the back, point blank. The point, whether that's accurate or not, the point is it's not about paintball. It's about something else.
What are you selling?
Lifestyle.
What do people do when they've done a reno? They ring their mates over and go, come and have a look at my neck.
Yeah.
You're selling status to a degree. It'll be different with different people, but do you see? It's the product or service gets in the way of what they really want. The wife wants the deck, so she can bring her girlfriends over and go, oh yeah, we got the deck, it's great. And that's not much. And all her friends are going, oh, you bitch, I want a deck. And the guys are going, geez, Tomo's great. Look at his deck. He's a legend. I'm going to have a Tomo's sitting on his deck. What are you selling?
People that come to you, are they struggling in business?
Yeah.
So what are they worried about?
Sales.
But what are they worried about if they don't get sales?
Business.
Yeah. So you're selling viability. My business will survive. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's confidence is what you get, the swagger you get when you've got a viable business.
Yeah.
It's viability.
Thank you.
What are you ladies selling?
Status. Yeah, totally. I've got new shoesies and I've got an interior designed room. I didn't paint it, I got it designed. It's status, totally. What do you think you're selling?
The other path.
The what?
The other path.
The other path.
Yeah, people get stuck in the road.
So when they come to you, how are they, what state of mind are they in? I would say, guessing, that what you're selling
is people actually feeling good about themselves. So the product or service gets in the way of what you're selling. They want to actually feel good about themselves. They want to feel worthy and want to help people. And that's, I go to a life coach because I don't feel good about myself. That's essentially what it is. Does that make sense? What are we selling? What are we selling? And that's a massive question. Like, what are you selling?
For me, it depends on who I'm speaking to. So we're a manufacturer, so we deal with distributors and also end users. So if I'm dealing with an end user, it could be the
the head of cleaning for this building, for example. To them, I'd be selling an outcome. The outcome is a clean floor. If you use this product in this way, you get an outcome of a clean floor. If I'm selling to a business owner, if I'm selling to someone who owns a restaurant, I might be selling profitability, increased profitability, so they might be spending X amount on their cleaning consumption. I can reduce that cost to X, which basically improves their bottom line. So to them, I'm selling improved profitability, it's not about the product, so it just depends.
Yeah, I don't have to think about yours, but I'll say it's again, dependability. I don't want to think about cleaning. It's just something I've got to do.
Yeah, it depends. Depends on who and what their role in the business is.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So, back to Sally. Like I said, you're going to get sick of Sally. Sally used to be friends with Lady Diana. She's kind of a big deal. Does that make any difference to you? She used to be friends with Lady Diana. Her marketing used to be, oh, when I was with Lady Diana. It's got nothing to do with executive coaching. It's completely off point. So, it's over here. She's marketing herself. It's me. It's about me. People don't care. Congratulations, you're mates with Lady Diana. I'm friends with a guy called Brendan, and he makes surfboards. Brendan's way more important to me than Lady Diana. We go surfing a couple times a week. He's got so many boards, I can take my pick. Do you want to buy my stuff? No, because it's got nothing to do with you. It's got Lady Diana, fantastic. So the way we flipped it with her was, we knew that if she got a great result for someone, if we got a great outcome, that other people probably wanted that. So when you go, like most people in carpentry or building, like if I want a builder, I either call someone I know who's a builder, I know them, so I've got that trust, or I call Brendan, who makes my surfboards. And he doesn't even have to have it done. It's just, mate, who's the best builder in town?
Because
I trust him. And if we've just harnessed, we've connected two things. It's like we've connected a person who's got a great result with other people like her who probably want the same result. Does this make sense? Okay. Know thy enemy is the key. Okay, so when we do, I'm just going to give you a little exercise. How much time we got? 10? Exactly 10? 11. Okay, so we're going to do, this is a little exercise. Again, I learnt this from a good man, Taki Moore, who's a business partner and good friend. But I don't know where he learnt it from. I never asked. But this is called the four forces. So when, like this is a little exercise I do with clients. It's a basic exercise to help you get away from your product or service and get into the mind of your customer or your client. So this is, the four forces are, people are either towards motivated or away from motivated. People either want to avoid something bad happening, and that's what's going to get them to act, or they want something good. 80% of people are away from motivated. Most people, it's just the way our brains work, and we've evolved apparently. We like to avoid things rather than go through the challenge of getting something that we want. That's what most people are, not everyone. So this is, to the left is away from motivated. And to the right, these are the towards, these are the things they want. So they're trying to get away from this, and they're trying to get towards something else, okay? This will make sense in a minute, so stay with me. Now, this is immediate, above the line. And this is either imagined, forgive my writing, please, imagined or future. So these are time-based. So if it's, I want to get away from something and it's immediate, this is what we call your frustrations. So just give me an example. JJ and OO,
What are your prospects' frustrations? It's immediate, and they want to get away from it. You don't have to get it right. I'm not going to be marking you on this.
They can't find
what
they want themselves on the internet.
Yeah, great. So that's one thing, can't find. Yeah.
They don't know what they want or where they, what they want or how they want to get there or anything like that. So
they know they want a holiday, but that's it. Yeah, I want it to be great. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know what I need. I would say, you know, part of their frustrations is I'm sick of work. I need a break. I need to get away. That might not be an overseas buyer. That might be a short break, a weekender. It might be, you know, my wife is sick of me working all the time, so we need to get away. It might be my husband is, I'm sick of him working, so we need to get away. It might be my wife is always working, so we need to get away. Like, whatever that is, those are immediate. Does that make sense? They're your frustrations. And then these ones here are future. These are imagined. And these are things that usually don't happen, but they're called fears.
So, pardon?
No passport.
That could be.
Yeah, I could. You know, something bad could happen while I'm traveling. Yeah, that's actually a very good one. Fantastic. I don't go to Paris. There might be a terrorist looking for an Australian traveller. Or Brussels. Okay. Yeah. Does this make sense? Frustrations are immediate, and I want to get away from it. I'm not making enough money. What's a frustration for a landscaping thing? I can't find the plant I want. I can't find the pot. It won't stop raining. The fear is, you know, my frustration is my garden looks like shit. That's what the frustration is. I'm sick of looking, you know, I'm sick of mowing the lawn. That's a frustration. So I may as well spend 3 weeks getting rid of my lawn and building this beautiful garden. Does that make sense? Any questions on this? Come on. No questions? Cool. Immediate. So we want to get towards something and it's immediate. What would you call that? Simple word. Mate, close. My kids say it all the time. My 2-year-old says it constantly. I want. These are wants, okay? Yeah? It's really simple. And then imagined. I'll save you the trouble. This is aspirations. And here's the cool thing. Generally, when you do this, this is a mirror. Generally, I can't find what I want. Well, I want to be able to find it quickly. I don't know what I need. Well, I want to know exactly what holiday to go to. Does that make sense? Yeah. Fears, you know, I don't want to go somewhere that's dangerous. I'm aspiring to a memory holiday, like something that my kids are going to talk about when in 20 years time. We're going to look back. Pardon? It's safe but memorable. Like, but see, that's without incidents. I don't want to go on, that's this side. It's away from, got it? But they want memories. They want this. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, get a piece of paper. We're going to spend, how long have we got? 5 minutes. We're going to spend 5 minutes. Just draw up this. The key is get them all wrong. Fail this. Be really bad at it. Draw up a piece of paper like this. Fears in one column, frustrations below it. Sorry, frustrations, fears, wants, and aspirations. Just throw as many out as you possibly can. For your customers, yeah. What are they frustrated by? What are they worried is going to happen? So how are you going? Just a bit of a shout out from the room. What did you notice from your audience? What was some of the big things that popped from you doing this exercise about your prospect? What are their fears? What are their frustrations? Just shout it out. They're confused. Fantastic. Okay. Yep. They changed their mind? Yeah, fantastic. So does your solution, does your wedding planning process adapt to that?
Okay, fantastic, yep. Either wants or aspirations, just the main things that popped out.
Always feeling
like this. Always feel, that's the fear, yeah. I'm always going to be like this and life will be crap forever, yeah. So I think we were pretty close with
that. They want to feel better about themselves. That's, anyone else?
Anyone?
Bad experience.
They've had a bad experience?
Yeah.
Lose money, it looks crap.
Yeah, costs, yeah. Change. Yeah. Trying to change how they want it, but they're probably
also concerned that, you know, if they invest money, will it actually appreciate the value of their house?
Yeah.
They're probably concerned that, you know, when the fellas come over, they might think it looks shit. We guarantee that you're going to, you know, if you could put a guarantee that it's going to improve the value of their house, if you could have a, if you had a relationship with a valuer, that would be an interesting, like an interesting point of difference. So, you know, you could, that could be part of your, you've got to be credible, but that would be an interesting thing. Like, we'll come in, we'll do this work, we'll get you value. Get you value before and after. Even if you designed the work for maximum value, minimum cost, maximum return on your
investment.
Yeah. I mean, like, again, this is, once you start digging into this, like, what do they really want? Yeah. So it is status if they're a homeowner, but it's also, it's their home, but it's also appreciating the value of the property. What'd you get? Yeah. Anyone that jump out?
Mostly were reflections. Like,
yeah, great.
A couple of weird diagonal ones.
Okay.
One
yeah.
was contracts. People don't want to have to deal with it right now, so it's at the top left. But in the future, they want to have a contract in their case.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a diagonal down the bottom.
Yeah.
And the other one is on, like, documentation.
Yeah.
Main street, you've got to have good documentation right now, but they don't really care about it. Because
mm-hmm.
they're not going to read it, but they want it there for the future, because what they don't want is being ordered.
Yeah.
So I suppose it was interesting that there were a couple of
diagonals. Yeah. Those will be your objections as well. That'll be the constraints in your process. Yeah, I know I need the insurance, but I can't be asked doing all the paperwork at the moment. So if you can provide, you know, solutions around it. Like, our mortgage broker did all the paperwork for us. So that was one of our constraints.
I don't have time to, I think maybe mortgage brokers all do that, but paperwork, is it? They don't?
I sell insurance.
You don't? Yeah. Well, that's... You do something different.
Okay. I do modelling for insurance companies.
So you're a model?
Risk model.
He's
a model.
A male model. I thought so. I thought I'd seen you. Men's Health magazine.
We'll be talking about that later.
Adam's got... So he's touched on the first of six different principles. So there's another five to go after this.
I just, yeah. The main thing is, you know, there's one thing they want to get is improve their offer.